HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman, hosted by Carl Franklin. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 82, recorded live Monday, September 17, 2007. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RID Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. And by .NET Developers Journal, the world's leading .NET developer magazine. Online at www.sys-con.com. In this episode, Scott talks with Microsoft Media Center Program Manager Charlie Owen.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes, and I am actually sitting in the Microsoft Building 42. This is my first podcast as an employee of Microsoft, hopefully the first of many, as I'm going to be interviewing people from all over Microsoft and giving people an inside view. And I'm sitting here with my friend, Program Manager Charlie Owen from the Media Center team, who has just shown me some pretty really cool stuff, actually running on his Mac. And we're here to talk about Media Center, specifically the development side. Thanks for taking the time.
Oh, pleasure to be here, Scott.
So I'm buying this house, and it's a two-story house, and I want to do some automation. Got a big screen TV. I got an Xbox 360. Got the Media Center upstairs. Got the Windows. I'm running Windows Ultimate. A lot of people buy Windows Ultimate. For some reason, they forget that Media Center is sitting right there. That's why you buy Ultimate. I want to be able to write a program that I can see the layout of my house on my big screen TV. I want to integrate it into Media Center. How do I do that? As a hobbyist, how do I do that?
Well, first of all, you'd get our software development kit. That's available from the web. We'll put a link in the show notes. And basically, to create a Windows Media Center application, you need to have Visual Studio Express or Notepad, if you really wanted to get really geeky on that. You need to have a good firm grasp of XML to use our Media Center markup language. All of the visuals are basically built out of PNGs, plus animations that you add on top of those. And then if you're going to do a code behind part to that, you would also need to use a managed code. We use most of all the examples that we ship in the SDK are C#. But you could choose Visual Basic or whatever. So those things are kind of like the basics that you need to get started. So when you install the SDK, we'll give you some IntelliSense for our Media Center markup language, which is a declarative-based language that you actually describe the visuals for your application.
Okay, so just like HTML is rendered by the browser, Media Center markup language is specific to Media Center. This is not something that I can see in my browser. When I'm doing my debugging, when I want to go and do my edit, refresh, what tool am I using to see a preview of what this is going to look like?
So there's one tool that ships in the SDK, and it's called the MCML Preview Tool. Its short name is MCML Pad, which might sound familiar to other technologies. That is really a tool that's designed for rapid application development on the visual side. It doesn't have any of the Media Center object model or code behind there. It's really designed for you while you're working with the XML and quickly iterating on the design of either your page layout, your individual controls within that layout, and so on and so forth.
Now, is there a notion of navigation? Is it like multiple pages, multiple MCML files? Is it, how much of like the browser is this? Because I'm going to be coming at this, and I think the hobbyist would, as a person who could whip out some HTML and a notepad, save it, and open it up. Mm-hmm. So there is a certain markup renderer kind of relationship.
But absolutely, yeah. So there's definitely the markup and renderer switch between. So you'll be writing your XML and then previewing it or refreshing it in the MCML preview tool. We also ship a launcher experience as well that allows you to have a history so you can double click on a list of files, which will open it up in the preview tool and so on and so forth. So it makes it a little bit nicer, that switch, or being able to maintain mm-hmm. multiple files, because you don't really have one big giant XML file that would define your user interface. You would have, you know, sub pieces to that. If you had a button in your application, you'd have a UI that defines the look and the feel and the behaviors of a button. If you had your bitmap for your house.
Yeah. So let's use that example. Okay. So I've got a house. It's got two floors. Maybe someone else might have a house with three. So they might want to use this. Right. Am I making one MCML page per floor, or do I have, can I put the notion of navigation within the single MCML and then move back and forth between the two floors?
Sure. There's really, within MCML, or really our page model, you have multiple pages. So you can navigate forward into pages. You can navigate back into pages. Those pages are defined as yet another UI. There's really the base level markup for creating a button is about the same base level markup for creating a page. A page is just another type of UI.
So it's not a one-to-one relationship between page and Media Center is a file on the disk.
It can be, but it doesn't always have to be.
Okay.
The nice thing about Media Center development is you really have quite a bit of flexibility for how you want to build your user interface. You might have a page model. For example, one of the applications that ships within the SDK as a sample application, we call it Z. It very much has a page, a drill-in model. So you select an album, which then drills you into that album details, and then you can do certain things with that particular page, and then you back out. But we also, there's other application models that you could also choose for, like your floors. You might have all your floors represented in one horizontal plane, and as you move left and right or up and down, those floors move up and down or left and right as you so desire. You don't need to drill into a different page per floor. It's that floor comes in as expected.
So when I first heard about this, and I'm sure people on the who are listening are thinking about this as well, I was like, oh no, yet another markup language. Couldn't we have done this in HTML and JavaScript, or SVG, or any number of different angle brackety things? Now, wasn't some original development in Media Center done in HTML and JavaScript?
So our very first platform, which shipped around the year 2003, the first platform was designed around a hosted HTML model. So you use the same JavaScript, HTML, you could even use Flash inside of that model. And it was really just to get people thinking. Its original design was to get people thinking about building applications that would be remote controlled. However, there's a certain fidelity that we ultimately wanted these applications to be able to have. And HTML, as you're familiar with, can only get you so far as the fidelity of the experience.
Right. I remember when I was doing Media Center extender stuff, trying to get my old Xbox to connect, there was this real clear transition when you went from the Media Center world into the, and now we're rendering HTML, and it was a fairly abrupt change.
Abrupt, yeah.
But now it seems like everything in Media Center has got transitions and transparencies and stuff like that. Like earlier you said PNGs. I'm trying to think about what the minimum amount of effort one could put into this. It's like I need Express, that's free. MCML pad and the SDK, and that's free. Well, I've paid for Vista already. I can get paint.net and make some transparent PNGs.
Absolutely.
So I'm not seeing any additional financial outlay on my part, which is good because the wife acceptance factor will be very low if I had to pay for any of this.
That was kind of one of the goals that we set out with creating the platform for Media Center, is really to gear it towards hobbyists, people that don't have a ton of money but are interested in bringing some new experiences to their Windows Media Center. So we really intentionally kind of designed this around that once you got Windows Vista Home Premium or Windows Vista Ultimate, the tools that were out there that are free of charge would allow you to build this. Now, you can always, you know, upgrade to Visual Studio and you get, you know, additional development help and efficiencies there. But
sure,
all of our sample applications that we ship in the SDK compile with Express, no problem.
Now, you just reminded me. I mean, I'm a fool. I'm just thinking that Media Center comes with premium, Home Premium. It's like the second the second SKU, and all the SKUs above that have Media Center.
Correct. On the consumer side.
On the consumer side.
So, you know, professional, business, those SKUs don't have
But Home
Media
Premium,
Center.
Ultimate, this is all stuff that people have. So, I mean, like my wife has Home Premium, so she has this on her laptop. I didn't even realize
that means she has a Media Center.
All right, cool. So long as she doesn't have Home Basic, she's solid.
That's correct.
Okay. So we're transitioning then from, you said, like in 2003 using HTML to a new markup language. So obviously there must have been a reason to make a new markup language as opposed to maybe using something that was off the shelf or some of the other markup languages. What is it that's specialized about Media Center that makes MCML more appropriate for Media Center and not one of the other angle brackety languages?
That's a really interesting question. We talked about the hosted HTML model. When you used it, there was a very abrupt transition between I'm in Media Center and now I'm in this other world. It may work okay, but it's a rather abrupt transition. All of a sudden, I don't have animations or alpha blendings. It's very snap, 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 not beautiful UI. So we looked around at a couple of options. And the interesting thing is we have built Media Center itself in various flavors of Media Center markup language since its very beginning. Our UI framework that we use to build Media Center is what we ultimately said, this works really great. Why don't we just expose this for third parties to build upon? So it was really a question of, we've got this pretty good UI framework that we've been able to build a pretty compelling product. Why not just make that available? So that was kind of the genesis of let's get something out there that's better. And there was also a couple of other wins in that space. Number one, Media Center markup language and the UI framework, the UI renderer, was built from the ground up to remote to other devices, such as the Xbox 360, where the renderer runs on the Xbox 360, and we send the markup over the wire and let it be natively rendered on the Xbox 360. So being able to remote the UI was very important for both our experience and third-party experiences. In addition, it was built from the ground up to work with the remote control. So in any piece of UI that you build, if you want it to work with the remote control, you add basically one line in the XML that says this thing can take key focus. And we manage all of the what's its sisters and its siblings and its parent and its children objects and manage that focus of that object for you. You don't have to create a focus manager and figure out, I'm here, so I need to move right, so I'm going to this object. That just kind of works automagically for you. So the remoting of the experiences and the fact that these can just work out of the box with very little code whatsoever in the markup with the remote control were the two big things that really drove us to make this available to third parties.
You just brought something up that was really interesting. A lot of people I've heard just kind of like in the hallways, not the hallways of Microsoft, but out there, the geeks talking to the geeks, myself included, I always assumed it was remote desktop that we people, the Xbox remote desktop's over to the Media Center. It's just one of those things that kids at Fry's say.
Yeah.
But it's not RDP.
So for hosted HTML experiences, yes, it's a terminal server / RDP. We're sending over wholesale screenshots, 3 to 5 frames per second. That continues to be the case for third-party applications built on the hosted HTML model because there's really not a remoting strategy or story around HTML. However, if you use Media Center markup language, you get the full fidelity remoting where essentially, this is a...
Like there wouldn't have been a remoting strategy around HTML unless I built an entire browser framework on the Xbox.
Right, right. Even then, HTML doesn't have the concept of keyframe animations. It's not even present in the language. You always have to add something else to the mix that would also have to be remoted.
And video. You showed me a demo earlier with some videos spinning around and overlaid and alpha blended all kind of simultaneously. Mm-hmm. If that was running on an Xbox, it would just run because it's all rendered.
It's all rendered locally on the Xbox. It would have the same look, same feel. There's no difference. The sample that I showed you, we happen to have locally installed, but that markup could be delivered from the web. It would render with the same fidelity.
So if I wanted to make some animations, I just got this idea. I'm thinking if I have all this power on the client side, I can do some crazy stuff with it. Let's say I've got my two PNGs of the top floor of the house and the bottom floor of the house. I want them to look flat. Like I've got them stacked on top of each other, like in 3D.
Yep.
And I'll move up and down between them. So they'll basically bend up against the screen and then go back down again.
Totally doable.
Totally doable. Oh, totally this is doable. Hot. We have to do this.
Now the
what a great sample.
The neat thing about that is
I can do that now. I work here.
Yes, you could do that.
I could do that and totally release that.
You could totally release that, but the nice thing is you could have done this, you know, when we released Windows Vista, because this is all public platform. So what you've described,
oh, no.
that transition, that animation is
so totally what you're telling doable. Me is that this is not news, that I'm like totally getting amped about MCML and it's like a year and a half old.
let's see. We publicized the availability of MCML in mid-2006. So we're it's been out there, but I think it's largely one of those sleeper technologies that if you're a Windows Media Center enthusiast and you're a developer and you've got an idea to build a product and you went and did a search for what I need
you
to
would
build
find
this
it.
Thing, you would find Media Center Markup Language or our platform. But outside of that, and we're actually okay with that, not being broadly known, and it just grows from a grassroots level.
I will be sure not to give this podcast to anyone. I won't be telling anyone, but
you can give this podcast to anybody.
Because I'm thinking about all the 10, because this idea of 10 foot, right? I mean, I've got the little Media Center keyboard deal, right?
Right, right.
I'm not sure quite how to get some of the stuff to work with the Xbox. Is there some trick with the wireless keyboard getting the Xbox to respect the keys? I can do the arrows, but I can't do the typing.
So, generally speaking, you want your applications, because they're really designed to be remote controlled usage. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that your applications only work or can work just fine with just up, down, left, right, okay, and the back button.
Is there an on-screen keyboard that's available as a service?
Or? We ship an on-screen keyboard example in the Zsample application that if you need the on-screen keyboard or text entry functionality with remote control,
you can
leverage the Zsample application.
Because I've just got the idea of like three things. I want to make the one with the layout of the house so I can turn lights on and off.
Right,
because I can't be bothered to get up and walk across the
room. Of course not.
And then I want to do 10-foot banking, right? I want to be able to check my balances and stuff while watching a show. Now, can I do that? Can I be watching a show and put it in the corner and do my banking?
You could put it in a corner, or you could leave the show up full screen and overlay your UI alpha blended on top of the show. It's a great way to maximize your time. If you're not into watching commercials, you can check your bank balance while you watch the commercials. But the show is running in the background. You've seen how Media Center, if you bring up the start menu after you've got full screen video, we just overlay the start menu on top of the full screen video. So that's totally possible.
Now, this isn't an MCML question, but what about like alerts and stuff? What about, there's the caller ID stuff. And I want, let's say I want to build an application where somebody pushes a button on the doorbell. And I have a camera that's in front of my house, and I want a pop-up to happen while I'm watching my show that someone's at the front door, and I click it, and then I see the video of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
How would I do that?
It's totally possible. The nice thing about Windows Media Center presentation layer applications is you have the full power of the .NET framework behind those for coded applications. So pretty much anything you can do from an alert standpoint, you can do using a managed code and interop. You can get all of those things.
So the Xbox has a renderer, but the Xbox doesn't have the .NET framework. So where's that code still running on the server, and just the rendering is heading to the Xbox?
That is correct. So the application is still running in the context on the PC. The visuals, what you see, the visuals are running natively on the Xbox, which actually provides you with a very nice abstraction layer. You don't have to write it a different way for it to run on the Xbox. You write it one way and it just runs fine on the Xbox.
And because I installed it locally, and I'm kind of extrapolating, I'm guessing here, but because I installed it locally, there's no cross-site scripting. We're talking about .NET, so I can call out to whatever domain I want and make and retrieve data.
There's two different types of applications that you can build with this technology. One is a locally installed application with full rights, however you want to get it. Now, of course, we recommend you don't require people launch Media Center with administrator privileges. That's just not a good thing. In general speaking, you don't want to do that. But pretty much you have full access to the local machine and can do all kinds of things. The other type of application that you can create is, think about DOS blog, for example. Today it outputs HTML. Well, you could change DOS blog or add some stuff so that it would output MCML instead, and it would render full fidelity on Media Center or the Xbox 360.
I'm like mentally designing this now.
So I know that's a little. It's always scary when I tell people this. So we've kind of really taken that's the web model. So basically, there's no local code. you have full access to the Media Center API, so you can play back media. Mm-hmm. You could turn the volume up or down. You could get to metadata for the currently playing song, for example. You have full access to the Media Center API, as well as a white list of .NET framework types in the web model. So we sometimes refer to this as the codeless model because you don't have to push code down to the local machine whatsoever. You're somewhat limited in the fact that you can't get access to everything in the .NET framework. Mm-hmm. But I think we've done a relatively good job with this version of the platform.
So it's a sandbox.
It's not even really a sandbox. It's we're rendering the MCML that you push down to us, and we're giving you access to our object model.
Okay, so there's no browser though on the Xbox. There's no browser in my. And so how do I let's say I want to make a Hanselman.com where someone hits Hanselman.com and they're going to get MCML. How do I get my icon into the programs, what is called more programs or online services section of the?
There's the program library. Yes.
Program library.
There's a whole registration API. You would have to get somebody to actually install the link for your application because it's not a random browser. You can't just type www and go to it.
So talk to me about that experience. They log in locally on their Media Center. Mm-hmm, they launch their browser because they're locally. Mm-hmm, they download what?
In particular case, what we tend to recommend is people have a very small installer that would just do the registration of the application. And basically what that's doing is registering, the web add-in that we have built into Media Center that serves as the host framework for the web model. And they're supplying it with a URL for an entry point for a landing page so that when I select that item in Media Center, it launches up the web add-in, which provides the object model to the web applications, and then navigates to the URL that you have supplied that. So there is a little bit, there's not a, a click-through or a browser gallery such as that.
Sure.
Today, you still have to do the user has to do some amount of work to get that entry point
registered.
Well, because
it's a security, there's a security issue there, right? You can't just have them willy-nilly bringing stuff onto their machine and then running inside of their Media Center.
It's not a browser.
You want them to be stable.
It's not the wild, wild west from that standpoint.
But somebody goes to my website, they download my MSI, a very small one. I put down a couple of just text files, really, in wherever, program files.
You've basically got an XML file that describes the application, what the URL is, and so on and so forth. You would have a PNG file, a graphics file that serves as the image that the visual representation of Media Center. Those are basically the two things that you need. And then that MSI would call the registration API. It would create that shortcut in Media Center. The user would launch that in Media Center. And then they're just hitting a web server at that point.
And I'm just pushing different markup. So I could use with DOS blog, I could use the same blog post. I just need to build in I could have people comment. I could use the on-screen keyboard and they could comment and blog.
Totally possible. Totally possible.
And I assume there's RSS reader applications people have?
We actually have built the QSample application, which is an RSS, it uses the Windows RSS feed store to store it. So you can basically pass it in an OPML file and it gives you a pretty radical, gratuitous animation, DNA helix look and feel.
Cool.
It's kind of gratuitous, but it works fine. Got Hansel Minutes subscribed to mine. It picks up the picture and does all those interesting and neat things.
So if I have a feed reader on that system, like Feed Daemon, that syncs to the RSS feed store, those feeds are still they're going to be in the same place. That's the same storage.
Correct. The QSample application will work fine with you. Again, we created it for Mix, in 06 and we kind of wanted to just have something flashy. So the UI is really gratuitous. It's kind of cute. It's neat. It's not as
the source
usable.
Is all there, right? Though I can
completely source.
And
you
take
can
a look
build
at
it.
Stuff. So what other samples are like pretty awesome?
The Q and the Z sample applications are what we ship out of the box. Mm-hmm. They're really designed to show best practices. Mm-hmm. Animations. There's also the MCML sampler, which ships with the software development kit.
Okay.
And it's about 125 different examples of how to do different things.
125?
125 different samples of MCML files that show you how to do data binding, how to do property changed events and things like that.
So data binding. Talk to me about that. Because an application, like in my example of the running around in my house and turning lights on and off, that's going to be pretty static and all. The pictures. But if I'm going to pull data in, where might I pull it in from? From web services?
It's really up to you from where you want to pull your data in. The UI framework layer, MediaServe Markup Language, is kind of agnostic. It doesn't really care where that data comes from. As long as it's bound in the MCML, it's abstracted in such a way that you don't really have to tell it specifically where to get it.
So, like, I'm familiar with binding to data grids, and I'm familiar with binding in WinForms. You know, is this going to be familiar in this kind of sense?
Some pieces will be familiar. Some pieces will not. It's a pretty radical shift if you're used to doing WinForms or data grid and having a property sheet that you can go in and hook up, and then Visual Studio kind of takes care of all the plumbing for you. You really, when you're working with MediaServe Markup Language, have to know how to do that plumbing yourself.
But
the key thing there to remember about MediaServe Markup Language is it's really designed for just the UI visuals.
That's what .NET's for, to do all the rest.
And .NET is there to do the logic and the data from that standpoint. So once you wire it up, once you've created that binding, for example, let's say you have a list. We saw an example of, there were four buttons in that page, right? And they said Alpha, Beta, Charlie, Delta.
Right. And you're treating them as a list box, but they're four buttons because we're talking about a remote experience.
It's basically a UI. Mm-hmm. Which has a look and feel and behavior.
Now, you keep saying UI, and you keep kind of leaning forward in your chair, which means that I'm guessing UI is probably an element in the XML. Angle bracket UI, because you're not just meaning user interface.
That is correct. It's a fundamental building block.
So a UI, this is an element in MCML that I would see. And a UI is any UI element that can possibly receive focus or be involved in some activity.
Correct. It's really a fundamental building block for any type of UI. That UI might be a page layout. That UI might be an album cover representation. That UI might be a button.
So for me, let's say I'm going to put this this house diagram together, is the diagram of like the bottom floor, that's a UI. But if I want to hover over, I want to move the remote control to select the bedroom or select a bathroom, and I want to have that highlight in a shape that overlays the same as the... So, is that a UI too?
Yeah, there's a couple of different ways you could approach that problem. We'd have to get into the design of the wireframes and really kind of understand how we're going to lay out this experience.
But you get the general idea.
But the UIs can contain other nested UIs. So you might have your floor plan, your top level UI, in which each of your bedrooms or rooms in your house are sub UIs that have characteristics. Now, UIs definitely have the concept of properties, which you can use the same UI in multiple places. You just push different values to it as it's instantiated.
I see.
So it's very rich, very deep.
Cool. All right. So when people search for this, if they go looking for they search for the Media Center SDK. Is there a specific version number that we're looking for?
So there's the current one is version 5.2. The best way to always get the latest, greatest bits for that is to go to MediaCenterSandbox.com.
Okay.
And that's our team blog, and we always keep the links for both the online version of the SDK, which is just MSDN documentation, as well as the installable version, which has all the sample code and the tools. Mm-hmm. We always keep the links to the most recent versions of those on that page.
So if I've already got I can use this on 2005 or Orcus?
Right now we just released, through Aaron Stebner's blog, we released some templates for Orcas.
Okay.
Orcas, still beta products. We tend to not put.
Sure. But let's say that I've got 2005 Express. I've still got that installed.
Works great.
And I go file new, and there's going to be Media Center options.
There'll be a Media Center application that we just released with the 5.2, which basically there's three steps you do. You have to strong name sign, the application, copy that strong name key into the registration, and you're done. You have basically the application that we saw earlier with the four buttons.
Okay.
It gives you that application.
Now, if I'm a developer who's, maybe if I'm listening to this podcast, I'm probably a developer, and I don't want to mess up my machine. This isn't gacking a whole bunch of stuff, is this going to harm my machine from the point of view of it's not going to affect my day-to-day development, right? We're adding some templates. Are we adding any add-ins in Visual Studio?
So we are. We have the MCML pad that we talked about, as well as the MCML sampler. Those run as Media Center applications.
Okay.
So they are installed.
So they're installed in the Media Center.
And they are launched from there.
Okay.
I personally have installed lots of versions of our SDK in its beta incarnations.
Really?
And it uninstalls cleanly.
Cool. It just lays a couple files down. Because, people always worry about that. Is it going to change my day-to-day and development environment?
I don't think so. I mean, cool. I use it. I install our SDK all the time on my main computers, both here at work and at home, and never have any problems. I mean, it's a development platform, so you have to kind of...
It integrates like all the other kind of add-ins that you would put into Visual Studio.
Correct. So all the experiences that you see that ship out of the box with Visual Studio or Visual C Sharp Express Edition, all of those application templates are still there. We just add a couple to them.
I'm starting to get distracted because I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. Because I'm all ready to go and like, I got to call my wife and have her send me the JPEGs of the plans for the house. So when I go file new, last question, I go file new is there new projects and new items or what different things are added?
There's a new project that you can select that kind of builds you out the basic level Hello World application that you can then build upon. We also include an MCML file template so you can add a new MCML file. It will have the basics of the properties, the locals, the rules, and the content.
Cool. Well, Charlie, I really appreciate you taking the time. Yeah. This is a fun first Microsoft Insider's kind of view. I didn't know that any of this stuff existed.
Well, now you do.
And now I do. And I'm going to go and figure out how to build these things. And I'll probably, since I work for Microsoft, I can now email you to help me.
Anytime.
Cool. All right. Thanks a lot. This has been an episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you next week.